Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Difficult Conversations, How to Discuss What Matters Most by Douglas Stone. Bruce Patton and Sheila Heen is a practical communication and conflict resolution guide associated with the Harvard Negotiation Project. It focuses on the everyday talks people tend to dread or avoid, such as giving critical feedback, raising sensitive issues with a partner, addressing disrespect at work, negotiating a change, or repairing trust after a mistake. The book's purpose is to replace instinctive habits like blame, defensiveness, and mind reading with a learnable approach that makes hard discussions more productive and less stressful. Rather than treating conflict as a battle over facts, the authors argue that most difficult exchanges contain multiple layers that must be addressed directly. They offer a clear framework for preparation, language choices, listening, and joint problem solving, emphasizing that feelings and identity threats are not distractions but central drivers of breakdowns. Updated editions also recognize how culture, power, and modern communication channels can intensify misunderstandings and raise the stakes of what feels hard to say. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the three conversations that run underneath every difficult talk. A central idea of the book is that what people call one difficult conversation is actually three conversations happening at once. The first is the what happened conversation, where each side tries to sort out what occurred, who is right, and who is to blame. The second is the feelings conversation, which involves the emotional realities that shape how each person interprets events and reacts in the moment. The third is the identity conversation, the internal debate about what the situation means about me, such as whether I am competent, a good person, respected, or in control. The authors argue that conversations derail when people focus only on the surface topic, while ignoring the emotional and identity layers that create defensiveness. By diagnosing which conversation is driving tension, a reader can choose better moves, such as shifting from proving facts to exploring perceptions, naming emotions instead of leaking them through tone, and grounding identity so feedback or disagreement does not feel like a personal collapse. This framework turns a vague dread into a concrete map for what to address and in what order. Secondly, moving from blame to contribution and separating intent from impact. In difficult conversations, people often default to blame because it feels clarifying and morally satisfying. The book challenges this habit by distinguishing between impact and intent and by encouraging a shift from blame to contribution. Impact is the effect something had on you, such as feeling undermined, excluded, or disrespected. Intent is what the other person meant or was trying to accomplish, which is frequently uncertain and easy to misread. Treating guest intent as proven fact escalates conflict, while denying impact makes the other person feel unseen. The contribution approach asks a different question than who is at fault. It asks how each person, including you, may have contributed to the current situation, such as through assumptions, unclear expectations, avoidance, or a pattern of responses that reinforce the problem. This does not excuse harmful behavior, but it creates room to learn and to change what is controllable. Practically, it helps people replace accusations with observations, questions, and statements about impact, which makes it easier for the other party to stay engaged rather than defend their character. Starting from the third story to reduce defensiveness, the authors recommend beginning many hard conversations from what they call the third story, a framing that neither argues your version nor endorses the other person's version. Instead, it resembles how a neutral observer might describe the gap between you, what each of you seems to be experiencing, what matters to each side, and why it is hard to talk about. This opening matters because the first few sentences often determine whether the exchange becomes a debate or a joint inquiry. When someone starts with a conclusion, such as you are inconsiderate or you never listen, the other person tends to fight the label rather than explore the problem. A third story start reduces the pressure to agree on disputed facts and invites both perspectives to be placed on the table. It also signals that the purpose is learning and problem solving, not winning. The approach typically uses concrete observations, acknowledges uncertainty about motives, and names the stakes, such as wanting a better working relationship or clearer expectations. Done well, it gives both people a path into the conversation without feeling cornered. Fourthly, handling feelings openly and using listening to uncover what is unsaid. A frequent mistake in conflict is trying to keep the discussion strictly rational, as if emotions are noise. The book argues the opposite feelings are often the core of what makes a conversation difficult, and unexpressed emotions tend to surface as sarcasm, withdrawal, or overreaction. The skill is not dumping feelings, but expressing them clearly and responsibly. That includes identifying what you actually feel, separating feelings from judgments, and explaining what produced the emotion and what you need going forward. Equally important is listening in a way that helps the other person feel understood. The authors emphasize listening for what is not said, such as worries about respect, fairness, autonomy, or belonging that sit behind a complaint about tactics or tone. Listening does not require agreement, but it does require acknowledging the other's experience and asking questions that explore how they see the situation. This combination of naming emotions and listening for meaning helps reduce escalation because it addresses the underlying concerns that positional arguments often conceal. Lastly, managing identity threats and preparing for high-stakes conversations. Many conversations become hard because they feel like a referendum on identity. Criticism can sound like you are incompetent. Disagreement can sound like you are not valued. And admitting a mistake can feel like you are unethical or weak. The book teaches readers to recognize these identity triggers and to steady themselves before entering the discussion. Preparation involves clarifying your purpose, checking your assumptions, and considering what you are telling yourself about what a negative outcome would mean about you. The authors encourage developing a more complex self-view so that one conversation cannot define your worth. For example, recognizing that you can be both capable and still have blind spots. This grounding reduces the need to defend at all costs, which makes curiosity possible. Preparation also includes planning how to describe your perspective as a perspective, not as the final truth, and deciding what you will do if the conversation becomes heated. By treating identity as a variable to manage, not a hidden landmine, the reader gains more control over tone, pacing, and resilience, which increases the chances of a productive outcome. In conclusion, Difficult Conversations is best suited for readers who repeatedly face sensitive discussions and want a repeatable method rather than inspirational advice. Managers and leaders can apply it to performance feedback, relationship repair, and conflict between teammates. Professionals in client-facing roles can use it to navigate misunderstandings and negotiate expectations without damaging trust. In personal life, it offers a way to address recurring tensions about money, responsibilities, boundaries, or respect without turning the exchange into blame or withdrawal. The main benefit is practical clarity by separating the what happened, feelings, and identity layers. Readers can prepare more intelligently, speak with less accusation, and listen with more precision. The book also stands out because it treats emotion and self-image as central mechanics of conflict, not as soft add-ons to rational argument. Compared with many communication books that focus mainly on phrasing or persuasion, it provides a diagnostic framework for why talks spiral and a structured approach for changing the pattern. Its emphasis on learning, contribution, and problem-solving helps people stay connected even when they do not agree, making it a durable guide for both workplace and relationship communication. If you would like to support Douglas Stone, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.